We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience, with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your 2 free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Grey's Academy, your favorite Grey's Anatomy podcast on the internet, ranked by Forbes and the guy who owns KFC. You have your two favorite hosts in the entire world. My name is Carmen.
My name is Kelsey, and it is a beautiful day for a podcast. And we're going to do
really
one.
It really is. Today, I left the house, and it was 32 degrees.
What time was it?
It was, well, 4:30 in the morning.
I feel like that's an important note.
Yeah. And then I left work at like 1:45. Still like 32 degrees, raining, kind of just gloomy, glum. Jess picks me up on her way home from work, and we go to get Marlo and we do dinner out because we're like, fuck
dead,
this. This is
dead to the world.
Dead. This is so wild. I'm feeling horrible. I'm like fighting off a migraine. Kelsey is pregnant. So I'm not trying to minimize anyone's feelings
you're doing
glum.
Amazing.
Yeah, whatever the words are. But anyways, I go out of the house to get into Jessica's car, and it's 78 degrees. And I'm like, it was literally 3 hours ago in the middle of the day. From 1:45 to 5:15, it went from 32 degrees and rainy to sunny and 78. And I'm like, it's just crazy. This is nuts.
Yeah.
We got Noodles and Company. Did you know they revamped their entire menu? Their whole menu has changed.
No, I haven't had that since I lived in Florida.
So the penne rosa is gone. It's just rigatoni rosa now. And they have like a 3-cheese tortellini option that I didn't even realize existed. So I'll get that next time. And I got this like crispy garlic mac and cheese that
knocked nice.
My socks off.
We had tacos for dinner.
I love tacos. What I really want is sushi.
Dude, same. I was at the grocery store yesterday, and I was like, I want the sushi so bad.
What's the worst that can happen? What's the worst that can happen if you have a little bit of sushi?
Just like mercury in the blood, probably. Yeah, well, I'm not going to find out. Yeah. I'm just going to have sushi when I want it in the hospital.
Yeah. Marlo, actually, when we picked her up today, asked she wanted the... She's like, I want the sushi robot. And I was like, girl, same.
Does she want sushi or just the robot?
I think that they're synonymous in her
just
mind.
The experience of the robot bringing us food.
Yeah. My truth is that she really wants sushi, but she's saying that she wants the robot specifically to bring it to her.
Mm.
So either way, though, it's great. Everything is amazing.
The weather here is great, but the pollen here is terrible. If you live in the South, you know, the pollen in here is garbage. Tennessee is one of the worst states for pollen. So
is
everything's
it really?
Yellow.
I don't think I ever knew that.
Yeah.
Actually.
Tennessee, Georgia, and Florida are typically like the top, like in three of the top five of the worst ones for pollen. But everything's turning green, which is nice. It's getting warmer out. The high today was like 80, but pleasant.
Oof,
it was cloudy. Yeah. Cloudy at 80. So nice.
I do like that. I want to, before we get into everything, I want to shout out our dear friend Maddie for graduating. Got her.
She didn't graduate. She got her white coat.
That's fair.
Like
the white coat
point,
ceremony,
I think. She said she has about a year left till she gets her title.
Yeah. Want to shout out all of the people who made some sort of comment about the balls on the ground episode last week. Feeling a little bit unhinged, feeling a little bit more unhinged this week. Who knows what's going to happen?
Maybe you should say you won't do that again because no one enjoyed it.
Everyone enjoyed it. What are you talking about?
Oh my God, no one enjoyed it.
Literally everyone.
I wish you had reading comprehension skills.
I guess that's fair. Also, shout out to Brianna for sharing the prom scene with dead Denny before he was a ghost and Izzy and Alex.
Yeah, last Thursday, I totally missed it, was 20 years since the premiere of Grey's.
Wow.
Which was wild.
That is crazy.
So here we are. Probably going to get season 22. It's unconfirmed, or it's unofficially confirmed.
Really?
Yeah. So, man, you know, they're just...
I love that, though. Keep it going. We'll never run out of content. Do we have any shout-outs that we need to talk about?
Yeah, we have a new Patreon member, Minka.
Minka! Hell yeah!
Sorry if I'm saying that wrong.
Minky?
Possibly.
Minkay?
Also want to shout-out Joe. He's on vacation this week.
Oh, hell yeah,
But he
Joe.
Went on vacation to visit family and just spend his whole week like playing guitar with his family. So he specifically said, shout-out to Carmen for guitar time.
I love that.
We hope you're
also
having a lovely time.
I think, Minka actually shout out as well, jumping right into the active Discord group here, giving us that some love for our Harry Potter tangent back in the season 5 finale. So, and it also, I want you to know that it took me a second when she said DH is my favorite HP book. I understood the HP is Harry Potter. But I
Correct.
Didn't understand the DH, Deathly Hallows.
Correct.
But it took me a minute because I was like, Disney's Hollywood. You forgot the S. Disney's Hollywood Studios is my favorite Harry Potter book. Love it. No, I'm just an idiot.
So true.
Yeah. Thanks.
It's all right. We're doing amazing.
We're doing something. Yesterday was an April Fool's Day. Did you?
Oh my God.
Did you fool anyone's Aprils?
No, I hate that holiday.
Really?
I think it's so dumb.
Oh.
Just a waste of time. Like, pranks are almost always mean.
I fooled everyone's
They're
April.
Not funny.
They're very funny.
I don't think they are.
I walked into work and I said, hey guys, I know I've only been here for a couple months, but I need to put my 2 weeks notice in. I got no one with that joke. No one fell for it.
Yeah.
So. All right. Also, just very quickly, want to shout out our dear friend Meg, our friend California Meg. Actually, in my defense, I guess I don't know where other Meg lives. Do we have two Megs or three Megs?
We have like four, I think.
Like 70 Megs. Meg, who's been on the podcast physically before, that Meg. Just liked messaging you, and we'll have to do a Zoom chat sometime soon. We also need to bring back our Zoom chats. Is what we need to do. Remember those Zoom chats? Those were fun. Our Zoom hangouts.
I do remember those.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we are without time currently.
Yes. Can't even get the time to do the regular episodes like this. Don't even know how it happened tonight.
Yep. Who knows what's going to happen and how long I'm going to be gone after I have this baby.
Oh, man. 100 weeks.
Maybe.
That's almost 2 years. That's crazy.
Yes,
like
it is.
I'd like to go on a two-year vacation.
Same.
But like 100 two-year vacations back to back subsequently, constantly.
You'll die.
Oh, that's what
you think. Well, just because you won't live to be 200.
Oh, well, maybe 233.
Why would you live to be that old?
Because that's 200 more years on top of where I'm already at.
But why would you live to be that old?
I just, you know, I think I could live to be 1,000 if I would play my cards right. As long as I remain stress-free at all times, I can live to be 1,000.
Yeah. You sleep like an hour a night. So.
Yeah.
I did see a really funny thing on the internet that said your future doctor is using ChatGPT to pass medical school, so it's probably time to just start eating healthy.
Yeah.
That feels real.
Here's the thing, though. You have the physical in-person stuff you need to pass too.
Mm-hmm.
So like you can only chat GPT so far. In fact, ChatGPT is going to weed people out.
Don't do it.
Well, yeah. Rule number one, don't chat GPT yourself into a doctor.
Okay. Apparently when you have AI write stuff for you, it like puts dashes and Oxford commas in. And they're like, oh, that's how you know. But like, I just always write with dashes and Oxford commas. And yeah. I'm like, I just have good grammar skills. So I don't understand. Now you're going to just say that I'm AI because I'm well written. That's offensive.
That means you need to start writing the paper with ChatGPT and then
papers.
Go back. And well,
this
yes,
is, I'm
this
text
is
text messages.
I'm giving ChatGPT. Can you write a message to my friend? I don't have time.
I saw a video where a girl showing her family a breakup text from her boyfriend, and she's like, "What is suspicious about this?" And they're like, "Oh, there's a dash in it." And I'm like, "Why is that what's suspicious about it?"
I use dashes. Dashes are great.
And then. So then she texted him and was like, did you have ChatGPT write you a breakup text message? And he was like, I'm so busy. Like, he didn't deny.
That's funny. But, the workaround for that is if AI writes you a paper for school, go in there and add a couple typos. Just go in there and switch the wrong use of there, and there.
But they can, like, there's now other AI programs where you put in something and it tells you the percentage that was written by AI.
Man, AI fighting AI.
We're so fucked.
It is, man, the human society has come so far that
we're building robots to bicker with each other.
Just to save 20 seconds.
Like, just do your homework. I just don't.
Do the homework.
Just fucking do it.
I actually enjoy writing papers when I like the topic.
Yeah.
So, like, that was one paper I think I've ever written.
Which was what? What was the topic?
Star Wars.
What was the class for?
It was one of those classes I took during the Disney furloughs.
But was it, like, what was the assignment, rather, I guess? Was it just, write a paper on something you care about?
I think it was actually like comparing the two. It was compare two things. And I think I wrote an essay comparing the prequels and the sequels, but fully remember. But I actually still have all of the papers that I wrote saved on my computer.
I have a lot of papers that I wrote in college still on my computer.
I respect
that. Because I was very good at papering. I took an English class, a gen ed English class my first semester.
Sick.
As is required by law.
Yes.
And then like my junior year, I ran into the teacher in an elevator. I was like, oh, I don't know if you remember me, but like I had you my freshman year, and she was like, oh, I remember you because I remember smart people. And I was like, what a sick burn on all of your other students that you only remember some of us. And she was like, I actually use your research paper as an example. And I was like, I feel like I should be getting paid for that.
Yeah, where are my royalties? Or where's the discount on my college education?
Student loans if you're using my paper to tell people how to write papers.
Yeah.
I also shouldn't have to pay student loans if there's not an Department of Education. I feel very strongly about it.
We do not have enough time on this podcast.
We really don't.
And if Clara gave us a negative review once for the banter, she will find us again. She probably also hates the Department of Education, if I had to guess.
Someone did message me and say they left us a review on Audible, so I am going to get on Michael's account and find it, and then I'll screenshot it and send it to you. Okay, so let's talk about Grace.
Wait, hold on, really quick. Someone did leave us a new review on Apple, mm-hmm. but it wasn't a word review, but I think it was a 4-star review. So if you're out there and you gave us a 4-star review and in like a week your typed up message doesn't come through, go back in there. Number one, change it to 5 stars. You dick.
4 stars is fine.
But also, just tell us why. Tell us why the four
it's
stars.
Probably I think, because we burp into the microphones all the time.
First off, we don't burp. It's called...
We definitely burp.
It's called acting.
It's we called act podcast like we're burping. No, I just burp. It's not a bit. We're just burping.
Anyways, yeah, let's talk about an episode.
Okay. This is the 21st episode of the 8th season. It is the 169th episode overall.
69. Nice.
There you go. It is called Moment of Truth, and that is a song I am excited to hear your opinion on.
Moment of Truth is a song off of the album Moment of Truth by Gangstar. They are a hip-hop duo, and this was released March 31st. Ironically, my dad's birthday, March 31st. 1998, not the year my dad was born.
Not all the way his birthday.
Not all the way the birthday. Just the
did
part,
you
just
have
the
a
date.
Nice birthday party for your dad?
Oh, you want to hear a story?
Oh God, I just know that Jessica made the cake for it.
Well, let me just finish saying this first. So this, I couldn't find anything for the specific song, but the album itself did pretty well. It hit as high as number 6 on the U.S. Billboard 200. And it hit number 1 on the top U.S. R&B hip-hop albums.
That's interesting, because I feel like normally when the song title is the title of the album, then it's like released as a single.
Yeah, it was not. The 3 singles off of the album were You Know My Steez, Royalty, and The Militia. And the only one that hit the top 100 on the U.S. Billboard charts was You Know My Steez. I don't know what Steez is, but it's STEEZ. If I'm not hip for 1998 terms, I need you to tell me what Steez is, because all I can think of is Steez Nuts.
That's not a thing.
Tell that to Steez.
Also not a thing.
Anyways, so I hit number 28 in Sweden, number 94 in Germany, number 70 in France, and then number 184 in Australia. So, well, there you go. The song, it was not my cup of tea. But
it was mainly just like based on the album cover. I was like, I don't think Armin's gonna like this.
Yeah, not usually a big fan of like the hip hop R&B, but it wasn't bad. It had a pretty solid beat to it. I'm gonna give the song, objectively, probably a 2.9. Because it wasn't one of the singles off the track, and I'm gonna give subjectively my opinion is like a solid 2. It was okay. It did not make it to the Carmen's iTunes library, but not a bad song. And it's my first time. I've never heard of Gangstar, so this is my first time hearing them.
Yeah, there's also a lot of songs with this title by various artists. I had to dig back a bit to find this one specifically.
Yeah. Let's give a shout out to Kelsey, because she's always doing the legwork on this, finding the right songs to send me.
Doobie doing the researches.
Doobie. So do you want to hear this quick story about
my dad's birthday? Oh, yeah, tell me. Jessica made a cake.
First off, I was grilling burgers, hot dogs, Italian sausage, and then I put peppers and onions on the grill as well. I got the grill going. I put all the meat and everything on the grill, and immediately it starts downpouring typhoon. Strike number 1. Strike number 2. My sisters are there.
Strike number 3.
Strike number 2. So actually, things were fine. We're having a good time. The rain goes away. We're eating. Everything turned out good. In the middle of dinner, guess who walks into my house unannounced?
Michael?
No.
Oh, my God.
Cindy. Unannounced. I'm not mad because it's an open invitation.
Right. That you extended. Who extended the invitation to her?
Well, it's just open. It's just, oh, she did not know that the party was today.
Oh,
she did
I
not
see. Know that.
Yeah. She just shows up. She was in the neighborhood. She pops in, didn't recognize the cars. The air from the room leaves the house. Like Jessica and I are like, oh no. And we're not
is,
mad.
The other one there.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, she was there. And so her and my sisters hate Cindy.
Which is absurd.
Absurd. Insane. So anyways, it was like, she doesn't really get awkward, but I'm like trying to be like, oh, hey, like, you want a piece of cake for the road? Like, want a cookie? Want a burger for the road?
To go.
So anyways, they stick around for a couple minutes. My dad also is like totally oblivious. He like walks them out and like is like super kind. But I'm like, man, this is just, of all the days you're going to pop by.
I was going to ask if there was any like family follow up with your brother or if it was just radio silence.
Just radio silence.
Good.
Yeah.
Good times. Everyone's doing amazing.
I did take my mom out to dinner. We went to Portillo's the day before.
Oh.
And we got her like a gift card to a grocery store. And
that's nice.
I asked my siblings, all three of them, if they wanted to chip in some money for a gift. And their only response was, that's a lot of money. And I'm like, it's $25. I don't know what to tell you. So,
well, $25 if you don't like someone feels like a lot of money.
So none of them chipped in. So we sit down, we're eating dinner, and within like 5 minutes of actually sitting at the table, I go, Mom, I want you to know that this is from just Jessica, Marlowe, and I. No one else went in on this. I asked, and no one said anything. So just remember this when, you know, you're laying on your deathbed someday, that for your birthday, your son Carmen took you out. And she's laughing.
To Portillo's.
Yes. Which was her choice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Anyways,
wait, is her birthday also, like, right before?
It's March 21st, and my dad's birthday is March 31st.
That's crazy.
Yeah. What does that make them? Sign-wise.
Aries,
not, like, they're people. They're humans, you know.
I think Aries, and I think your mom's probably cusp. With Pisces. No, Aquarius. Mm. No, Pisces.
Okay, well, wild. Anyways, all right, we should talk about Grays. I'm so sorry, but let's do this. This episode is brought to you by going to Patreon and following us and doing the things. Subscribe, like, hit that 5-star review button. It really does help us a lot, guys. It means a lot to us. It means a lot to Kelsey's born and unborn children. It means a lot to my born and unborn children. Do it. We love it.
Perfect. This episode was written by Zakiah Alexander, directed by Chandra Wilson.
Rob Korn. Oh.
It aired April 26, 2012, to 9.45 million views. And the Netflix synopsis is, the residents travel to San Francisco for the oral boards, which I think is a pretty fair synopsis.
Yeah. Yeah.
This time around, it's like a lot happens, but not a lot of very specific stuff. A few very specific things, but like, it's like, there's not like, oh, you know, a really intense patient storyline. It's really just like vague storylines, but big plot character arcs.
Right.
If that makes sense. I don't love this episode. And it's not because I think it's bad. It's because I know that it's stressful. It stresses me out every time I watch it. Like Meredith being sick stresses me out. Alex leaving stresses me out. Other things in it also stress me out. Just make me angry. So I don't think it's bad. Like, I think it's a well done episode. It's just like, personally, I would not be like, oh, I really want to watch that one where they go to the hotel for in San Francisco.
Yeah, I thought it was a good episode. I like the, there's a lot of personal things.
Mm-hmm. Definitely a lot of setup. A lot of setup. But not like
sex too.
Not in a way where, because sometimes there's a lot of setup, but it's like, oh, that episode was boring. This episode is definitely not boring. But it's not, it doesn't feel like a full story. You're definitely like waiting for like, well, what now? For a lot of things.
Yeah. I mean, for those of you that might not remember, this is, I think, the episode that will go down as the time that April lost her virginity.
That is a key plot point.
Weber and what's
Catherine's
mom? Catherine. Man, all the Catherines in my life, and I cannot remember this one's name. Catherine and Richard
all the Avery's be boning in this episode.
Let's just say that Catherine got the dick, if you know what
mm-hmm.
I mean.
That dick.
That dick Weber.
Nice. Really? So yeah. Yeah. We'll start with Teddy and Owen, and then we'll kind of, because that's like the one thing that's kind of separate. Well, there's two separate things, and then we'll kind of round back out. But so back at the hospital, Teddy and Owen are still being the worst. They're just like unpleasant to watch. I'm still on Teddy's initial side of like, what she made it seem to be was, we'll be able to work together. And then what occurred was not that.
Correct.
I want to pick a side, because I'm like, not, I don't really feel strongly towards either of you being correct right now. And that was kind of, so there's a patient that comes in, 16-year-old, was like ran into a light pole or something. So he has like really bad internal injuries. And so there's like a lot of bickering between Teddy and Owen. Callie is over it. She's like, I'm not even going to be in this OR. Like, I hate standing next to you two. It's so terrible. Miranda is like, oh, it's fine, it's not that bad. And then she spends the time in the OR and realizes it is in fact that bad. So
kudos to Callie for the way that she just describing the situation.
Yeah.
She starts, what does she say first? She says that being in that, you don't, to Bailey, you don't want to be in that minefield that has what bears with knives.
It's like defusing a bomb in a haunted house that's built on a minefield, and there are bears everywhere, and the bears have knives.
Yes. And what did she say after that? Their hatred will destroy this planet,
this hospital, and then the whole planet. I'm counting on you. We're all counting on you. Godspeed.
Callie is just so
Callie's
amazing.
Callie's funny. Also, at the beginning of this episode, when Meredith doesn't want to leave, and Callie's like, it takes a village, and we're all here for Zola. And then as soon as Meredith leaves, she's like, it was a metaphor. I actually don't give a shit about helping you, Derek.
Yeah.
That's savage.
She's like, literally, all I care about is the Torres method is now in her brain.
Yeah, my
so
legacy.
This,
yeah.
This
don't
woman
fuck me over.
Better go pass her fucking boards.
Because I spent too much time.
Yeah,
working
that was
her.
Before that she knew that she had the flu, though. Here's the thing. I've had the flu. I've had migraines.
Okay, here's the thing. Carmen has actually not had the flu. Carmen has had the stomach flu, which is different than the flu.
First off, you don't know my HIPAA.
I do, because I remember you talking about it, because it was when we made you get the flu shot. And then you were like, I had the flu and I threw up for 48 hours. And I was like, that's not the flu. That's the stomach flu, which for some reason is named that, but is very different.
No, but it came with the body aches and all that stuff, too.
Well, yeah, if you throw up for two full days, your body hurts.
No, but like the shivers and the body aches and the all of it. I was worse off than Meredith. I've had it. I've had the
You've
flu.
Had the stomach flu.
Okay, first off, why are you gaslighting me?
I'm not. I'm agreeing with you. You're calling it the wrong thing.
What am I calling it?
You're calling it the flu, and it's the stomach flu. They are not the same.
What's confused. What's the flu?
The flu is like an aggressively terrible cold that will kill you dead. It's in your
lungs.
I've
had that. I had it with my leprosy.
I think you mean you had COVID, which is also different.
I did have COVID.
I know. I also did. It was unpleasant.
Yeah. Okay. So the
anyways, Carmen has had the stomach flu, and okay, it is terrible. The stomach flu. I hate throwing up so much that I would rather have the flu, which lasts way longer. The flu lasts typically like 5 to 7 days. The stomach flus are like typically max out at like 48 to 72 hours.
How come this is the first time I'm hearing of this? Also, did you know that strawberries have carbs?
Sugars and carbs are like kind of interchangeable in some ways, the way the body digests things. And I only know that because of the diabetes that Kelly has.
Okay.
Because they actually, like when she calculates insulin, it's normally based on carbs, not on sugar.
So I was also at this dinner. This is strike four for my sisters. I go, I'm on a no carb diet, and I go and I eat a hot dog and a strawberry, and they're like
17 strawberries and a piece of cake.
I would not on a no carb diet.
Is butter a carb?
Is mayonnaise an instrument? Anyways, yeah, I was like, what the fuck do you, Sam? What do you mean that strawberries are a carb? Strawberries are a fruit. They're not a carb. And she's like, they're low carb, but they're a carb. I'm like, I don't even know what life is anymore. Clearly,
did you Google it?
No, I didn't. To confirm. I don't even know. You know what? I should do that.
It's 0.9.
Okay, so gram
of carbs.
Less than one full gram of a
carb.
Can
I eat strawberries on a low-carb diet? They are keto-friendly.
Keto-friendly. Nice. Very demure of you, strawberries.
100 grams of strawberries has a net carb of 6 grams.
Amazing. That's
because
they
are very high in water content. So.
Oh, so that's like a celery.
Oh, I do love celery. I actually had a bunch of celery yesterday.
Oh, so I like celery. Anyways, that was random. Sorry. Continue with whatever you were saying. I squirrel.
Yeah, okay. So Meredith has the stomach flu.
And I had the flu.
You have had the stomach flu. I have had the stomach flu. I hate the stomach. I hate vomiting so much I would rather have the actual flu than the stomach flu. Also, I meant to look this up and I didn't. I was like, when did Zofran become invented? Because why would no one just have like the thing that makes you not throw up?
Zofran was back at home with Derek.
Well, you could have called that prescription into any pharmacy. Now, I will say
making a Zola joke.
Ofenigrin is the other one that knocks out, like if you're vomiting, it'll make you stop, but it also makes you just like sleep for 12 hours straight. So that would not have been productive for a test taking environment.
Wasn't he the handsome guy from Hunger Games?
No.
Carried around like sugar cubes and shit.
He is Finnegan. They cast him very well.
Yeah, I liked him.
I actually think most of the Hunger Games was cast pretty well, but I did not like Zach Hutchinson as PETA. Anyways, yeah. Okay, that's another conversation. So back at the hospital, Teddy and Owen are arguing, and Miranda has not fixed it. And then the surgery, like he fully leaves the surgery, which I'm conflicted on because...
Yeah, he just says my head's not in it. And
I'm
like just
I
leaves.
Understand where you are, and I'm like, you don't want to make like a bad call and harm the patient, but also is leaving, like what if you not being there... And like them not having that extra set of hands also harms the patient. So I don't think 100% it's like one way or the other, but it was a frustrating moment to me because I just felt like it wasn't very doctorly. I'm like, you can't even leave this at the door. Granted,
chiefly.
Teddy was also not leaving it at the door. Like I'm not putting it all on Owen. Like they were both doing it, but it was frustrating. I'm like, yeah, it definitely wasn't like a chiefly move in any way. Like the leadership was not there. And I understand there's nuance and like this, he's not like walking into an ideal situation and just being shitty. Like he's going into a shitty situation and everyone's being shitty. By everyone, I mean Teddy and Owen. But so I didn't love that he left, especially because him saying I'm leaving was like a response to Miranda asking for help. I'm like, dude, that's kind of fucked. This is like a kid.
Yeah.
What if he dies?
Yeah, that was pretty crazy.
Also, I hated that he was like used a moment actively where this patient is crashing to basically say, I told you so. That's really annoying to me.
When the graft is going bad, he's like, I knew it.
He's like, and crashing. Even Teddy was like,
what, you knew that the graft would fail? Like, what are you saying right now, Owen?
Yeah. So I didn't really love just like either of their behaviors. I'm like not against them hashing things out, but I am against them doing it in a moment where someone is actively dying in front of them.
Yeah. Agreed.
So after he leaves and Teddy just keeps complaining about him, which again, I'm not mad about because I also bitch about people a lot, as specifically Owen Hunt. And so finally Callie comes in and is like, I don't understand how you didn't fix this. And so Miranda goes over to Teddy and I want to make sure I get it all right. Let me read it so that I can get it correct. Teddy says, I can't work with him if he's going to fight me on every single thing. And Miranda says, he's not fighting you. He disagreed with you on a course of treatment. That is something doctors do, but you don't see him as a doctor. You only see him as the man you blame for the death of your husband. And you know, and I know that that was not his fault, but he's accepted that blame because he thinks it makes you feel better. He's not fighting you, but you keep fighting him. He lost you. He lost his friend. And now he's probably losing his wife. His whole world is falling apart. So I hope blaming him is helping you because it sure isn't helping him. I also wish it said, and it's not helping the rest of us either.
Yeah, that would have been nice.
Because it is
little...
starting to, like, the trickle effect is really, like, coming in to the rest of everybody else. Like, it's no longer contained.
Yeah, I like that it came from Bailey. I've said this before. I think Bailey is kind of, like, a source of reason for a lot of people. Like, she's very well respected within the hospital. There's really not a lot that she can do wrong. So the fact that it's coming from her, I think, is really awesome.
I agree, because I love her. But I do think it's important to know or note that she does know the marital situations with Owen and Christina. And like basically only Meredith and Derek know that other than her. So I do think she's empathizing more with Owen than basically anyone else, because no one else really knows that he's having those issues. So I think that kind of helps her make the stand to Teddy to be like, just so you know, his entire life is in shambles.
Yeah. And she also brings up a good point. It's like, you lost your husband. Yes, for sure. He lost his friend and he's losing his wife. Maybe there's no death there, but it's not just you that was affected. And he's, I think we've talked about this, whether or not we like Owen and whether or not, which we don't.
I was going to clarify, we don't.
Yeah, to clarify. And whether or not we agree with the relationship, the way they're him and Christina's relationship has started, which we don't. I think that we both have agreed to an extent that like the way that he handled the Henry situation was the best possible way in a shitty situation. You're not going to win no matter what. You might as well not risk the mental state of the person doing the open operating surgery at the time. Yeah. It all sucks. It's shit. We would have loved to see Henry live to
so true.
Realize his full potential as command. But
Dr. Command.
Dr. Command. Man, can you believe that? That'd be wild. So yeah, it's I'm and Teddy, I think, kind of she doesn't really do much, but she does kind of bring that whole personal thing in of like, hey, just you know, like Christina is
she doing, extends an olive branch, I feel like is the best way. Because she again, they don't like fully hash it out. She doesn't go and like, oh, I'm ready to be your best friend again, but she's like, hey, just wanted to let you know, I heard from Christina and she feels good about the test. She's about to go in. Like, thought you'd want to know.
Yeah.
And like, doesn't expect a response, doesn't stand like just, and then just goes. So I'm like, it's kind of just paving the way. Now I will say, cause I will always call it out. We have to watch and see if this becomes an actual apology or if this is just one of the things the people in the show do where they're like, well, I'll just do a nice thing and that will count as an apology. Which is not the same. It should be together. But this is, again, just extending an olive branch. So who's to say if there's an apology to come or not?
The writers, for yes, one.
Someone's to yeah, say.
There is a someone. It's neither you or I. What we will say will happen now. We're just going to take a quick moment for some regional sponsors to help the capitalist overlords get their tribute paid, and we'll be right back after this.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
I love capitalism, and we're back.
It's never, you know, failed anybody.
Never failed anybody, especially the working class. Hey, actually, shout out Wisconsin, you know?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Man, really stuck it to Elon fucks,
hell,
am I right?
Hell yeah, I hate that man so much.
Speaking of capitalism, I recently discovered this, I think I told you guys this card game that Ricky, our dear friend of the podcast, mm-hmm. got me on. And I'm not one to put money into apps.
Oh, no.
I haven't.
Oh, okay.
But I'm really tempted. And what I have to keep reminding myself is that's bullshit. Just go buy the cards.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I've staved that off. But let me tell
you. I'm proud of you.
The random number generator of the app is just like, it's really crushing me. Because I've spent a lot of time farming one particular deck for one singular card and I haven't gotten it. So... Like, I could just go buy this card in real life.
But can you? Because aren't all the packs blind? I guess you could buy it, like, from the internet.
Yeah, I'd buy it from the internet. But also, these cards are not, like, real cards.
Right.
They're fake design cards for the app. But they're based off of real cards.
Okay. So, at
Teddy the Owen.
Yeah, well, we're kind of wrapping up on that one. Do you have anything
wrapped
to add
up
on it?
Nope, just love that Bailey's the one who did it. I like that Callie came in multiple times and is like, Bailey, let's go.
I planned girls' night, so this one's on you.
Yeah.
Also, the kid lives by some kind of fucking miracle.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll get to the resident stuff in the next episode, but while we're at the hospital, we will mention that Alex comes back like a fucking moron to Seattle. Because
well, he leaves,
right,
then comes back.
Right. Because he's a moron. Because he's randomly decided for the purpose of plot and conflict that he needs to be interested in Morgan and Tommy again.
Yeah.
And Morgan and Tommy is basically like, there's nothing else they can do. So he gets there and Arizona is basically like, there's nothing anybody can do. It's just is what it is. Like, this is the end times. And so he helps Arizona tell Morgan, kind of helps her come to terms with it, and then sits with her the entire time. He's like the one that takes her off or takes Tommy off of everything. And then he stays with Morgan the entire time she's holding him until he does pass. And that is terribly heartbreaking. And I hate it.
Oh,
and he's so small and I hate it.
Yeah. I actually shout out, I'm not going to use names, but some of our best friends, they just went through a C-section today in real life time, delivered their child, fluid in the lungs on a CPAP machine. So,
how far along?
Normal. This was a scheduled C-section.
Oh, okay.
Scheduled C-section. So just, you know, shout out. That's never easy stuff. You know, on a healthy baby that not getting to see, your kid for, you know, X amount of time is tough, but, you know, try to put yourself into Morgan's shoes. Like, she's in an impossible situation, lost the boyfriend / father of the baby, which was like an upgrade for them. You know, that's a bullet dodged, but when she gets to that point, there's obviously things leading up to it, but when she gets to that point where she's holding Tommy and you have this realization, this is the first time I've held him
without
the tubes.
Wires. Yeah.
Like, that's nuts. That sucks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So sad. I hope to never be around a parent that loses their child. Yeah. I hope to never be, because I can't handle it. And my selfish thoughts going through my head are like, I'm so glad I have my kid. And then what if it's my kid? Life is shit, guys.
It's one of those things where I'm like, well, I want to be there for you, but I just, like, as a parent, I know there's nothing I can do that's going to, like, make anybody feel
absolutely
better. Like, yeah, I can be there for you, but, like, there's no, like, really helping. There's just, okay, it's another day. This terrible thing is
terrible.
Still reality.
Yeah.
That's kind of my thing about it. And again, and I've had people reach out to us and say that they liked our conversation around, like, when someone's grieving, just ask them what they need. But still, there are times when it's like, well, I need this person not to be dead.
Yeah.
So it's just one of those things where it's like, yeah, it's like you want to be there for someone, but again, at the same time, you know that, like, it doesn't even fucking matter. It's just
right.
But it is still nice that he is there with her, so she's not going through it alone. And I also want to make sure we shout out, like, healthcare workers specifically in pediatric, NICU, all that stuff, because that is, like, such a calling and such a, like, they're a gift to people. And it's, like, the compassion is just, it makes, I feel like, just such a difference to the parents.
Yeah. Well, that and that's, I think, kind of like the underlying of Arizona's point. She's like, Alex, I need you as my Pete's fellow next right. year.
Because of the things like this yes. are what make you like desirable for that job. But also because you're doing this, you're fucking your chances.
Exactly. Like, so, like don't let one. This is the trolley car situation, guys. Like, are you going to railroad your career for the one person right here? Or are you going to save the other people by shifting the tracks? Just go do the test. And
what?
Then he doesn't even go.
What did you think was his reasoning for going back to Seattle? Like, do you think there was like an underlying like subconscious motive?
I really don't. I don't know. I don't think so.
If you look at Alex's character in general and just like the way he kind of views himself and his own life, even though he does have self-awareness in moments and he has like stints of good Alex and stints of shit Alex, this is good guy Alex, but it's dumbass Alex because
good guy for the wrong reason.
I kind of take it truly as him being like, if I don't take the test, I can't fail it. And I can be like, well, I had to be there for my patient. And then versus like, if you take it and you fail it, you can just be like, well, fuck, I failed it. Like, so I kind of think it was a little bit of like, well, I'll just say I had to be at the hospital. Like, I had to be with the patient. That's kind of something that I always have felt like that was the, because it just comes out of nowhere. Like, he distances himself from Morgan and Tommy. He's like, I'm not the doctor. I can't be this person for this lady. And then all of a sudden he's like, oh, wait, no, I give a shit again because I need a reason to not take this test.
Well, I think there's a couple things at play. Number one, there is an element where he's martyring himself a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, woe is me. I had to be there for the patient. That's why I couldn't take the test, blah, blah, blah. And I agree with your point of you can't fail the test if you don't take the test. Mm-hmm. However, the reason he distanced himself is because everyone put it in his head that she was falling for Alex.
Right.
Now, if they've moved past that and there's been enough time and he feels like he can go back and be a good doctor and it's not like a romantic thing, then fine. I agree with that. There was just no backstory establishing that.
Yeah, there wasn't clarification what we've on seen. That for right. sure.
I do see, if the times where we see good guy Alex, it is very much, what's the word when you do something with nothing, no expected in return?
Altruistic.
Altruistic. I think that there was a bit of altruism here of like, I see being there for Morgan mm-hmm. as one of our own. This is for the greater good. Like, being here for Morgan is bigger than a test. This girl is saying goodbye to her child. And she's done everything. She's been through surgeries. This kid's intestines are totally necrotic and they're wasting away.
Like, they've literally done everything they can do.
They've done everything. And I see my truth is there's a little bit of in Alex's head, this one person is more important than just a test that I could reschedule or whatever.
Yeah. But
I also do think there's a lot of it that's like, I can't fail what I don't take.
Right. I like won't put myself in a position to be the failure because I'll know that I have done a good job as a doctor, so it won't matter.
Yeah, whatever like, the
board. Well, I can tell myself, you know, it doesn't matter.
Who are you, boards? What do you mean?
You don't know anything. You don't matter. I matter. So yeah, that's kind of just something I was thinking of when I was watching it. As I was like, he just leaves. Like, it's so unnecessary. Like, it's so. But at the same time, it does kind of track with like, just like when he said stuff about when he tries to write off relationships and he's like, oh, every girl that I'm with goes crazy or I can't like meet a normal person, like things like that. It just kind of was like, oh, you're just writing off that if I take this, I'll fail it because that's just what happens to me. Not anything I'm doing. It's just how life goes for me. It's kind of like a self-fulfilling prophecy in a way.
Yeah, it for sure is a self-fulfilling prophecy is the exact way that I was. Would
but I like
it.
When Meredith, I mean, she doesn't do it in this episode because she's vomiting. But she normally calls him out on it. And she's like, that's not like you're not the same person you were. These things happened for X, Y, and Z reasons. Like, it's not all just like life throwing shit at you. Like, you are handling things. You are a good person. So it is nice that normally she's there to kind of bring in the reality checks. Unfortunately, she's not there this time for that. But okay, so they're all at the, they go on the van to the airport to go to Seattle, or sorry, from Seattle to San Francisco, which I have to assume is like not a long flight.
I don't know. I don't think so. Let me actually look this up really quick while you're telling the story. I'm curious, because now I'm curious too.
Yeah. April cries a lot in this episode. It's annoying to me. So, also, I love when Alex gets there late and she's like, I can't believe you're 23 minutes late. And he goes, am I too late to request a van without you on it?
They get another good when they're in the actual conference and she goes and she meets that one douchebag fucker.
Oh my God, he does suck.
Yeah, and she's like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna get a job there. And he's like, oh, you took the job from me. Alex is like, you've been here for 2 seconds and you pissed someone off.
That's like, how do you make people hate you so fast?
Like, it's actually a skill. I'm impressed. I'm standing ovationing you right
it's
now.
It's honestly impressive because she does it with such kindness. It's not like she's walking in like Christina and just being an asshole.
No.
She walks in and she's so nice. And then all of a sudden everyone's like, I hate you.
I have grown to really like April's character because they shit on her for the worst reasons. Like, oh, you're a kind person? You fucking bitch.
Your
like,
voice is terrible.
I'm like, garbage.
Which also someone messaged me and they're a couple episodes behind. So like earlier this season when I was really sick for a couple of episodes, they were like, Kelsey sick sounds like Jennifer Lawrence. And I was like, wow, I actually really appreciate that. Ooh, thank you so much. Wow. I'm also a famous person. Also, she's like 2 days younger than I am.
It's crazy.
And she has Oscars and I have no Oscars.
Yeah, but you got me.
I get some other stuff.
Got the podcast with your favorite best friend.
We'll get a podcast Oscar. How long is the flight from Seattle to San Francisco?
It's actually 2 hours, so there's no way he was making it. Not in the post 9/11 era.
Yeah, that does feel like a long flight.
Like, and that's nonstop Seattle to San Francisco.
Wow. Owen literally says it's not that long of a flight. I would say if it's longer than an hour and a half, it is. Like, to me, an hour and a half is like a short flight.
Well, yeah. Like, anything.
2 hours?
2 hours is just a flight.
Yeah, exactly.
Anything. Because to me, when I'm flying from Chicago to Orlando, that's like 3 hours.
From here to Orlando is like right under an hour and a half.
Okay, so that makes sense because
Chattanooga is about an hour and a half to you guys as well. And then, but also because we're a smaller airport and we have so many connections that route through Atlanta, I have taken the Chattanooga to Atlanta flight. And that is a short flight because I believe it's like 22 minutes. It's literally like you go up and you go down. Like there's no cruising altitude. They're like,
they don't even get off the runway. They're just on the highway on the plane.
We've cruised, but we're also descending. So just don't get comfortable at all on this airplane.
Yeah. It's actually their in-flight service is just someone sitting from the buckle position, just tossing bags.
I'm like, don't even just you guys relax. We don't need shit. Anyone who needs anything can fucking wait. This flight is so short.
Can I also use this platform? Give me the platform.
Here I am on a platform.
Nah, let me standing up over here on my platform to say respectfully and as kindly as possible, Southwest Airlines
can fuck off.
Can just go fuck yourselves.
They had three things that made them appealing.
The only reason people flew with you, you took away because one person left a bad Twitter review. Go shit in your own cereal. I'm so sick of it. The general boarding and the check bags gone. Mm-hmm. You're dumb.
Morons.
Dumb.
I used to be like, man, if only Southwest would fly out of here. And I'm like, I don't fucking want it.
Yeah.
Get out of here with your bullshit.
It's so dumb. So you make Southwest Airlines great again, folks. Truly. Come on.
Truly.
And that, Trump, if you want to do something good for once in your life, sign an executive order and block that shit. Do something. Stop taking away rights and give us general boarding and free check bags.
Take away the
back.
Rights of this $1 million corporation.
Well,
to do whatever they want and tell them they have to do what we want, which is what
time.
They were doing before they started doing this other thing.
Yeah. Gosh.
Fucking idiots.
It's dumb. Dumb. I could do a whole podcast just lamenting about Southwest Airlines.
Yeah. It's annoying because they used to really be like an ideal situation.
It was the best.
Especially and for families, because they do family boarding first, so you can get seats together.
Oh, yeah. I would just walk beeline to the back.
Yep.
Last row of the plane, because odds are you could get a whole row by yourself sometimes.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, everyone's a moron.
The world
capitalism.
Is screwed. It's not even good capitalism. You had
it's
the differentiating product. You
wait,
were,
but
you
they're
were...
doing capitalism because now they'll charge people more money for things. Like, the free checked bags aren't free. You have to pay more for them now. So that's the capitalism at
yeah,
work.
That's fair. That's fair. We're flying Frontier for our trip to Disney in April.
I've never had issues with Frontier.
They were
now
offering a
say.
Promo for free select seats and free bag check.
Well,
so...
there you go. Because they do charge you the extra charges for a lot
oh,
of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Now, have you flown Frontier before?
Yeah, I've flown.
Okay.
When I was, when Jess and I were long distance.
Are not comfortable, but
no.
They are very cheap.
when Jess and I were long distance, I would fly Frontier or Spirit regularly. But for my longer trips, I would fly Southwest if the deals were good. I remember, remember back when Southwest would send you an email and say $49 flights and they actually meant it and they had options. Mm-hmm. I looked the other day and it said you could go to Pittsburgh for $39. You know when I can go to Pittsburgh for $39, which would have been great. Shout out Mark and Leah. I would have loved to see them and Carter. I could have flown there on a Tuesday and flown back on a Thursday. Who wants that?
Clickbait. That's how Allegiant is Clickbait. As well. We have a lot of Allegiant flights out of Chattanooga, and they only fly on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So you're either going for 2 days or a week.
Man.
Yeah.
I would have. Yeah, no. Anyways. Okay. I feel
so
like.
So anything else with Morgan and Alex in Arizona?
Yes.
I do feel like people were not mean enough to Alex for coming back.
No. No one said anything. He's just like, I got to go back to Seattle. No one stopped him.
Well, I mean, but even in the hospital, Arizona could have been like, bro, leave now. Go back. Right. You are a maroon.
Yeah. And I get like Morgan's really not the right person to be kicking him out. Like she's got her own crap to deal with. It is just a bummer because they almost kind of set up the episode like, oh, Alex is coming back. Maybe he's going to save this kid. He's going to find. The way to fix the organs. No, it's
yeah, you
just...
had previously definitely predicted multiple times that Tommy was going to live.
Yeah, I knew all along deep down, though, that he was going
to
die.
Oh, OK. Well, interesting that you never chose to speak that truth out loud.
Well, it's like a it's one of those like
your
unspoken...
hair is so long right now.
It's just the top. I actually kept the top a little bit longer. I went short on the sides. Yeah,
it's just it doesn't look bad. It's just longer than you normally have it.
Yeah. I'm just I'm going into my my hot dad era. I'm just trying to like embrace it.
My hair is also very long right now.
It is.
It's only because I haven't had a haircut since Bennett was born, and he'll be 3 in July. So,
yeah, well,
that's super healthy.
I mean,
anyways,
it probably
okay.
Is.
So yeah, I obviously don't think Morgan it needs to tell him to leave. Like, obviously, that's not what I mean. But like Arizona, literally anyone else,
she
Miranda Bailey,
him. Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
Owen Hunt, literally just any human being who's employed by that hospital that's not Morgan should have been like, get the fuck out of here and go back to San Francisco for the most important test of your career.
Yeah.
So that was really annoying to me because I was just like, that doesn't seem realistic from a mentor standpoint, but also like at all, just people who have taken the boards and know that they matter.
Yeah. It's at the end. I'm like, kind of now that I know how long a flight actually is from Seattle to San Francisco, and it's 3 hours, and Arizona's like, just try, don't give up. I'm like, Arizona, are you an idiot? This, you should never have gotten to this point. You should never have gotten
well,
to the
okay.
point.
Well, okay, Alex says the test is in like 3 hours, so maybe it's, okay. maybe it's a little,
he's over,
maybe there's
he's
wiggle room on the positive side, right? So it's a 2 hour flight, whereas we'll hope that he just sprints through security and he can get a flight out that's like really early or like really yeah. works with the schedule. But yeah, so the episode ends with his name being called and him not being there. So what's your prediction for his board situation? Because they say like 6 times in this episode, 1 in 5 people fail the boards. But is yeah. he failing it if he doesn't take it? No. Okay. But
well,
so what's your prediction for his board situation?
He's going to take the boards. He's going to take it. Something he's going to, that we're going to start the next episode with him running up and going, I'm sorry, I'm late. I had a patient. I just came. This baby, bah, his name was Tommy. You know, you just don't understand. But I actually thought that's going to be how the episode was going to end, is they like close the door and he sprints in, is like, no, I'm here. He didn't. but that's how I think the next episode is going to start. But you think about it, there's 5 of them.
Yes, I think that's why they say it so many times.
So
to plant that seed in your head. So what is the seed saying to you? What is the seed whispering? Carmen is going to fail.
I think we should talk about that in the next episode.
Okay, and we'll talk about that after we do everyone's favorite segment.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your 2 free gifts with purchase. WATER to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your 2 free gifts with purchase. WATER to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.